Hi, I'm Judy, a grateful believer in Jesus, and I'm finding victory over codependency. And you guys might not know what that means. That basically means, in my case, I hate confrontation and conflict and will do almost anything to avoid it. I have trouble saying no to anyone without feeling guilty. That includes the dog, or maybe especially the dog. And I've heard of boundaries, but I don't know much about them, so I guess that would also be an issue, setting healthy boundaries. Let's talk about writing this testimony. This has been a hard thing for me. I would get all set up with my Bible, my pens, my paper, ready to write, and I would remember a phone call I needed to make, a toilet that just had to be cleaned right then, or there was a Girl Scout cookie calling my name. Really, even an unpleasant distraction was preferable to the discipline of writing. It does take discipline to write my stuff down and then courage to share it with all of you. However, it is a privilege to share what God's done in my life. I've heard it said, a man can argue with your religion or your philosophy, but not with your experience. So this is my experience. I grew up on a small farm outside a small town, a lot of small things, in southwest Oklahoma. My family were dryland farmers, which means we were totally dependent on rainfall at the right time to make a crop or have pasture for our cattle. The quarter section I grew up on was land my great-grandparents claimed during the Oklahoma land rush. Now that lets you know how old we are. And grandparents and my grandparents had clung to during the Great Depression and Dust Bowl. I know this is a history lesson for most of you. Anyway, we were a tenacious bunch, if not terribly prosperous. I've read that birth order, gender, and the emotional makeup of a child determines our childhood memories more than the actual events. That's certainly true with my brother, sisters, and me. My brother is 2 years younger than me, and my sisters are 9 and 12 years younger. We are all close and good friends. But when we talk about our childhoods, we hardly ever remember our parents' conversations or the events the same way. Since I was the oldest and my parents were very young when I was born, I kind of grew up with my parents. I felt like it was the three of us in it together, and I was responsible for keeping the peace. Peace was very fleeting in our house. My mom was a hard-working farm wife, and my dad was kind of a wild man. You know the Waylon Jennings song, Good-Hearted Woman in Love with a Good-Time and Man? I could sing it for you if you don't know it. That describes my parents' relationship pretty well. They were very young, very cute, and either crazy about each other or very hostile. We always had dinner together, and that could be lots of fun or pretty miserable. My dad was a naturally funny guy and could keep us all laughing with his impersonations of people we knew in our small town. But as much fun as that could be, I could never completely relax. There were lots of minefields planted around our house, and you never knew when you might step on one. My parents were not really affectionate toward us, but that doesn't mean I didn't feel loved. I don't remember either one of them ever saying, I love you. But my mom was a wonderful seamstress and made us pretty dresses, and my dad would bring things home. A dog he had found, a Shetland pony nobody could ride but my baby sister, or baby bunnies that we could never keep alive. My favorite part of the day was when my mom would take time away from her chores to read to us. We only had a few books, but we'd listen to them over and over again. When I was 9 years old, there was a revival in the little church we attended. Now, I thought about God a lot. I had a child's heart to know him, but I was also pretty scared of him. I'd heard some frightening stories about God from the pulpit, and I thought he must be angry and hard to please most of the time. Anyway, I guess I decided it was time, and I walked down the aisle and asked Jesus into my life. I was baptized the next Sunday. I had escaped hellfire and damnation, and I felt relieved about that, but not much else. Apparently, I missed some concepts. For one, grace. I don't ever remember God's grace being discussed. I remember singing Amazing Grace, but I didn't know what that meant. Also, Jesus. I thought if I asked Jesus into my life, that was all there was to it. I didn't understand I could have a relationship with him and that I could grow in that relationship. I'm going to spare you all the drama of my high school years. No, I'm not. I thought I might, but I decided to tell one story anyway. One short story. I wasn't the smartest kid in school, but I was diligent. I really struggled with algebra and chemistry, so I would wake myself up at 4 a.m., go into the bathroom, and memorize the formulas needed to pass the test, and then promptly forget everything I had memorized after the test. This is not a study method I recommend, but I did get into college. Truthfully, college started a lot better for me than it ended. When I didn't have all the external restrictions on my behavior, I found out what I was really, really good at. I was a good dancer and a good partier. There were quite a few boyfriends during high school and college, and lots of broken hearts. Some I gave and some I got. Now it's time to graduate with my teaching degree. It should be a big deal. I'm the first person on either side of my family to graduate from college. Everyone's excited but me. I'm too scared and sick. I know what no one else knows. I'm pregnant. My boyfriend wants me to have an abortion. I thought we'd get married, but I soon found out I was all alone. I couldn't tell my parents. My dad was finally proud of me, and he could be a fairly violent man. I could only imagine what could happen. At this time, abortions were illegal, but everyone knew who did them. I arranged to get the $400 and went to the doctor's office. The next week, I left for my first teaching job in Kansas, and that was that. Except, of course, it wasn't. I call it the pain that never goes away. I couldn't talk to anyone. I had survived physically, but emotionally, I'm a mess. I couldn't even imagine what God thought of me. I surely didn't think much of myself. So since I'm certain God wants nothing to do with me and I can't live with the shame and guilt before him, we had to go our separate ways. The next summer, I moved back to Oklahoma, about an hour's drive from my home. My dad died that following October from a massive heart attack. He had just turned 44 years old. He never told me he loved me. I guess he thought I knew. A few months later, I met my future husband. He was a dashing, handsome young captain on his way to Vietnam. I was always a sucker for a man in uniform. We dated for about 5 months. He shipped out and asked me to marry him over a satellite call. I said yes, of course. Oh, I forgot to tell you that soon after he left, my best friend and I moved to California. It seems teachers were needed in California, and they were paying more money than we could imagine we would ever make. Of course, we had to get there first. So without money, good sense, cell phones, we got in our car and took off. Our cars. We each had a car. Now back to my marriage. We married after my fiancé returned from Vietnam. In retrospect, we probably should have waited a little while before the wedding. You know that Johnny Cash song? Okay, I can sing this for you, too. We got married in a fever hotter than a pepper sprout, and we've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out. Do you want me to sing? We got married in a fever. That's it. I'm not singing anymore. All right, I could do that, but anyway, I'm not going to. This is a serious thing. While he was gone commanding men in war, I was now women's liber, you know, burning bras and all that. So our first 10 years were a lot like that song. I would describe it as a few good days and lots of bad months. I hadn't been able to get pregnant, so somehow between the partying and the fighting, we had been approved for an adoption through the state. Apparently, while we were waiting, we decided to extend our partying to Mexico. One Saturday night, on the way back to our place in Mexico, a guy on a motorcycle managed to get on the toll road going the wrong way. He hit us head-on and was killed instantly. The impact sent our car spinning out of control. We had a mountain on one side, which kept us from going over a cliff into the ocean, and guardrails on the other. The noise was deafening. Lights were flashing, and it was total chaos. I remember thinking, this must be what hell is like. Odd, I hadn't thought of hell in a long time. When the car finally stopped spinning, we were all alive. Not one of us thanked God. We thanked the Mercedes manufacturer, but not God. However, God was starting to get my attention. Soon after my husband got out of the Tijuana jail, and that's another story, we got a call from our adoption worker saying she had a baby girl for us to consider. We were thrilled. I couldn't go back to work. I couldn't leave her. I would dress her up every day and stroll through the neighborhood. I met new neighbors with little kids, and I was thrilled until I found out they were with Campus Crusade for Christ. This sounds like a setup, doesn't it? A wreck where we could have been killed, a new baby, and now neighbors in Campus Crusade for Christ? One night, our new neighbors asked us to go to the Jesus film and then go for coffee. While we were having coffee, the Campus Crusade guy drew out God's salvation plan on a napkin. This guy was smooth. He was from Oklahoma. When he finished, I was shocked by the words that came out of my mouth. I think I almost shouted, "That's what I've been looking for!" I didn't know anything about the words repentance, salvation, or the rest of it, but I'd been looking for a do-over, and I didn't even know it. He quoted Romans 8:1, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Now, I could relate to condemnation. I had been condemning myself for years. One of the kindest things God did for me was bring my closest friend to Him at the same time. Prior to this, and she's here tonight, by the way. Prior to this, we had convinced each other that we didn't need God in our lives. We had been friends since high school, roomed together in college, driven out to California together, lived together there, taught together, and spent every weekend together. I almost forgot, we were in a wreck in Mexico together. So I didn't know how she would accept this change in my life. When I finally told her, she was relieved. She had decided to follow Jesus and didn't know how to tell me. God is so good and patient and kind. And since He knows the end as well as the beginning, He knew that we were both going to need Him desperately for what was coming next in both our lives. By this time, my friend has two boys, and I have a girl and two boys, all precious children. One afternoon during the kids' nap time, I was reading my Bible. I'm still new at this, remember. I'm reading in Romans, and I read Romans 5:1-5. It was as if the message was just for me. I had to memorize this, so I did, and it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us." That's who I wanted to be. I wanted to model those traits for my children. I wanted to be a person of proven character and one who perseveres through adversity. I didn't want to be a whiner or a quitter. I didn't know it at the time why God wanted me to absorb all of this message, but soon enough I did. I just wrote this down. I think this is God's way of saying, cowboy up, it's going to be a rough ride. It wasn't too long after that afternoon that my friend's youngest son was diagnosed with cancer and died the following year. And not too long after that, I'm a single mom with three little ones to support. I learned some very important lessons about the nature of God during those years as a single mom, but none closer to my heart than His protection. God protected my kids when I was too tired or stressed to make wise decisions. He protected us when I would pack three kids and a dog in a K-car, in a Plymouth K-car, and camp all the way to Oklahoma to visit my family. He kept us safe when a halfway house moved in across the street from us. I'm humbled and amazed at how much trouble I've been, and He remains. Fast forward 6 years, my ex-husband and I remarry and move to West Lynn. Are you thinking this is a Hollywood ending? We all know there's no such thing. We're still married, but there's always something. Any of you that have fallen asleep, wake up. I have told you this whole thing so you'd get ready for the next part. One morning, I was reading Romans again, and God gave me a vision. And this is how it happened. I was reading, and my eyes got tired. And since I think the most luxurious thing to do is read until you're tired and then take a nap, that was my plan. This time, I didn't fall asleep. You remember I told you about my abortion, and the pain and guilt never went away. So here I am, 35 years later, still struggling. I'm sitting, not asleep and not awake, and a picture comes into view. Now, I want you guys just to maybe even close your eyes and just think about what I'm telling you. It is a cell in a dungeon, a horrible place. It's cold and wet, and there's only a wooden bench in the middle and a light coming in through one small window. I realize that I'm observing this scene from a vantage point high up in the corner of the cell. I'm watching this. I see a pitiful, dirty, ragged woman sitting on the bench. Her hair is all matted and she's crying softly. Then I hear some heavy footsteps coming toward the cell. The woman looks up and I recognize her. It's me. I was the woman in the cell and I was so scared because I was about to be executed. As the executioner reached for her or me, she began to beg for her life, and she began to justify her actions, blame other people, rationalize her behavior. It was the 60s. Everyone was doing it. I'm a good person. Anything she could think of, but it was no use. She was guilty, I was guilty, of everything I was accused of. And then on the bench beside her, there was a bright light. I can still see it in my mind's eye. I can picture this. It was glowing, but it had form, and I knew it was Jesus. He had invaded the darkness of that cell. Then he spoke. Take me. I'll go in her place. And then she said, oh, no, I can't let you. I'm guilty, Jesus. I did all the things I'm accused of. He repeated, I'll go in her place. Let her live. Now, I'm not a big dream person. I never even remember my dreams. But I remember every detail of this, and it never changes. I knew immediately what God was showing me. He wanted me to know that if I was the only person in the world, the plan would have been the same. Jesus would go to that cross just to save me. Now, it's one thing to think he'd go for the sins of the world, but just one person, one sinful person, he would take my punishment, and he does the same for each one of us. Now about CR. A few years ago, CR did the cardboard testimonies in Big Church. I teach two-year-olds, so we always call it Big Church. You know the one where people walk out with a piece of cardboard with their hurt habit of or hang up on one side, and then they flip it over to reveal the freedom and healing they're experiencing in Christ. That was the first time I heard of CR. It was a very emotional service for me. I was intrigued that people shared their struggles and failures in church of all places. And there was acceptance and love, not judgment. About the same time, I became friends with a woman whose issues were just out there for everyone to see. I had never been to CR, but I thought it might help my friend, so I came with her. And then there was a woman's step study starting again, and I thought it might help my friend, so I signed up with her. For any of you that don't recognize this, this is true codependent behavior, always fixing someone else. The first night, the leader asked why we signed up to do the study. I wanted to say, I don't really need this, I just came with her. But I surprised myself by saying, I don't want to die with the same stuff I've lived with all my life. I wanted to examine my life, and this seemed like a safe place to do it. The inventory portion of the step study revealed many of my less attractive qualities. Shame, guilt, resentment, and envy, with a couple of revenge plots thrown in for good measure. I realize this doesn't highlight my best side, but the process worked. Beth Moore says, "A friend is someone who knows all your stuff, and you can still stand with dignity before them." I am blessed to have so many friends that know all my stuff and still allow me to stand with dignity before them. Every Wednesday night when I get ready for CR, one of my sons will say, "Why are you still going to CR?" The short answer to that is, I love the people. I love to give and get encouragement for the journey. I want to be a friend to someone who wants to be more than their past or the sum of their past mistakes. God always has something important for me to do here, even if it's just show up. If this is your first time at CR, you've already done the scariest part, walking in the front door. The rest is a piece of cake. Really, there's cake at the end of the meeting. This is a friendly, welcoming place. There's not a person here who doesn't want God's best for you. The food, the worship, the teachings, the testimonies, and small groups are all designed for one purpose, to demonstrate God's love, compassion, and healing and hope that is available to us. And remember, you can't come late and leave early and say no one was friendly. Stay and socialize after small group. Thank you.